heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we talk about faith and the importance of faith in the different areas of our lives, whether today you're in the workplace or if you're a student, an at-home parent, or maybe you're taking care of a loved one, or maybe you're somebody who's never really had faith and you're starting to search for what your purpose is. Well, the next 30 minutes, we interview everyday people who will share their everyday faith. And we like to start the program with a scripture reading. And today's scripture reading comes from the New Testament. It's the book of Romans, chapter 15, a couple of verses from Romans chapter 15. It goes like this. For whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures. Now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement allow you to live in harmony with one another according to the command of Christ Jesus, so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with a united mind and voice. The second reading also from Romans chapter 15, verse 13, says this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the scripture reading for today. And we like to say on this show, if you know Christ as your Savior, but you're going through a difficult or dry time, seek God through reading the Bible. God will use it to revive you. If you don't yet know Christ, read the Bible and ask God to reveal himself to you. He will, and you'll never be the same again. You'll be a new creation. There's life-giving power in the Word because it brings a person into a living relationship with the living God. Read the Word. Just do it. And again, thanks so much for joining us today on the show. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we have a website. It's mark5ministries.com. We have some podcasts and videos posted there as well. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
News and sports sponsored by Unbound. We all got to where we are through hard work and a little help. Open a world of opportunity for a child or elder dreaming of a better tomorrow at unbound.org. Unbound.org.
And in your hour of desperation, no, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for joining us today on the program. Back with us and bailing us out is my friend Greg Dickerson. Today's original guest had to reschedule, and so I hope all of our listeners have a friend like I have in Greg Dickerson who I can call at literally the last minute and say, hey, how about hopping on the radio and doing an interview? And so, man, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to be here as always, and I enjoy our conversations, and we could go on for hours.
So. I think we could. So I'm going to get right into it. We are going to eventually work our way towards the Gospel of Luke and the fourth chapter. That's where we're headed. Before we go there, though, I have a question for you, Greg Dickerson, and I kind of want to warm up with this. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's been a meaningful verse in my life. And I'm wondering for you, Greg, can you think of a time in your life where that was reality for you? And would you mind sharing that?
Yeah. So the definition of that, you know, faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. So I like that word confidence. So, you know, I've walked my entire life by faith. And, you know, when you look at the biblical definition of that, you see a lot of different case studies. Noah building the ark by faith and proclaiming the great flood when everybody thought he was nuts. the creation of the world and believing in God and that God created the world in 7 days and, you know, believing that the Bible is the inerrant word of God and that it's true. So in my own personal life, when you say, what does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? As individuals, we place our faith in a lot of things. We place our faith in the government. We place our faith in our bank account. We place our faith in our job. So in our family, in our, you know, achievements, accomplishments, things like that. So walking by faith versus sight, when you're facing the loss of all things, when your world is crashing around you, and I've faced that. I've lost everything. At one point in my life, I was worth a great deal of money and was very successful and doing a lot of things. And, you know, by faith, I was believing in God and believing in what I was doing and the abilities I had and the training I received and the education that I had, that I had the ability to do things and I was accomplishing things. And then in 2009, well, that all came crashing down. We had our faith in our monetary system and our banks and our government, all of that got shattered. So when you face something like that and everything you own is being stripped away from you for no fault of your own, you're doing the same thing you did every day for years, and now all of a sudden what you thought was the right thing wasn't working, you know, that's where you really have to, you know, start living that verse, you know, walking by faith. You know, that's where you just say, you know what, God, it's not money, it's not possessions, it's not my career, it's whatever it is that you have for me. And I know that at the end of the day, no matter what that is, it's going to be great. Whether my bank account's full or empty, whether I have a big house, a little house, a house at all, whether I'm living on the streets, you know, my faith is in you that all things are going to work out. All things are going to work to my good. As long as I'm honoring you through those things and I'm seeking God and I'm following God, meaning I'm reading the Bible, I'm studying, I'm trying to live my life in a way that honors God. And this isn't an Acts, you know, versus faith type of thing. This is just believing that no matter what, God has my back. We're only here a short time. You take an eternal perspective. Everything on this planet, you know, is on loan from God. We are fiduciaries of the things that he's given us to be stewards over. So, you know, none of it matters at the end of the day. You know, at the end of the day, the last thing I want to have is this big, huge bank account when Jesus comes in and, you know, and I didn't do anything with it, you know, so those things don't matter anyways. What faith is the assurance of the things that we do not see. I know that God created this universe. Jesus died on a cross for my sins. And one day I'm going to be in heaven worshiping God, you know, 24/7.
Let me ask you a question on that, because I was in a faith conversation with a close friend yesterday who's going through some struggles. And Greg, we're speaking with Greg Dickerson, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. And Greg, you are somebody who I would describe as a man, I know you're very humble, but I'm going to say you are a man who walks with God and is very in tune with God. And as you and I know, the book of James talks about wisdom and how wisdom is readily available for us as believers simply upon asking. And I'm wondering about kind of during the great crisis of your life, certainly that period, how were you seeking wisdom to kind of get through and navigate all the stuff you had to deal with in 2009?
Yeah, so consider it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds and you know, let faith perfect itself through those trials. Be patient and seek wisdom. So when you're going through things, you know, it's easy to get discouraged and it's easy to lose your faith. But if you look at it from that eternal perspective and say, there's something in this, I know God has my good in mind, you know, whatever is meant to harm me, he can use for good. So when you look for the wisdom in your circumstances, it just appears. And it can be a number of things. Now, we don't always like those answers. And the Bible says, whoever lacks wisdom, pray for it. And, you know, God will give it to you. And during those times, I was talking to God just like you and I are talking today. God, I know, you know, I've got this building that's being stripped away that's, you know, got all this equity in it. I can't sell it. The bank wants it. You know, I know there's something in this. Well, I learned how banks work very deeply at the innermost levels that helped me through the rest of my career and would probably be more valuable to me than any education I could have received at Darden or Stanford or anywhere else. Yeah. So I started to understand finance and how banks work and how they think, how to creatively structure transactions, and how to handle pressure, you know, because I was under what most people would consider immense pressure, but to me it wasn't any big deal. It was like, you know, this is it's all relative, right? Mm-hmm. You know, God is in control, and these are just possessions and their buildings, and it's money. It's really, at the end of the day, it's just money. We can always make more. We can always lose more, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, you know, it's just relative. So the wisdom is in the experience of the circumstances if you're looking for it and open to it. And that means talking to wise counsel, listening to people, taking their advice and opinions, looking at the circumstances that you're facing and how things are unfolding. And then at the end of it, reflecting. And I don't mean beating yourself up or second guessing or Monday morning quarterbacking. I just mean looking at the tapes, mm-hmm. watching how that play went down and reflecting on how it came out. Mm-hmm. And then when you start connecting those dots, that's when you really start seeing your faith go to a next level. And that's really what it was for me. I had faith before it all started. And everybody, you know, when you're successful, people think it's overnight. They look at you and they think, you know, wow, you're just lucky. You only have faith because you have all this money. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to have faith when you're successful and when you're winning. Yes. You know, when you're losing and you can't win and you're working as hard as you can and you keep drudging and you're just walking uphill in the sand and every step you take is deeper and deeper and it's harder and harder, that's when it's difficult to hold on to your faith. But, you know, for me, that's when my faith was taken to a level of deepness that I didn't even know was there. Mm-hmm. And what I have found out through these circumstances and through my life as I get older and as I face things, you know, it's just a deepening of my faith each time. And that's where the wisdom, you know, really comes through those circumstances. And, you know, the Bible will tell you wisdom is worth more than anything, mm-hmm. gold, rubies. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, you know, success and wealth are created through ideas. Ideas are developed through wisdom mm-hmm. and experience. And, you know, you just have to be patient in affliction and let the wisdom of those circumstances come through. That's how it's worked
so
for me.
So it sounds like you received a different type of MBA during those days, more of an experiential MBA.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, I didn't go to college, so I don't have a formal education, but I am self-educated. I've continued to fill myself with material, business material, faith material. You know, I read the Bible every day. I take seminars. I listen to different things. I mean, we can get information in so many different ways now. Prior to 2005 and the internet and all that, it was books. So my advisors and counselors were mostly people who had written books. So, you know, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, you know, titans of industry, you know, that's where I was getting a lot of my experience as well as people around me. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you want to do is find other people who have been through what you've been through, learn from their circumstances and experiences, and, you know, find some of the top minds in the areas of the things you're dealing with and learn from them, whether it's personal, mm-hmm. personally in conversation, or if you read their material and their experiences. But we recently had Joe Gibbs come, you know, and Joe Gibbs has been through a lot of things in his life. And you can read his story and listen to what he says, and you can learn, you know, through those circumstances. Mm-hmm. But experience is the best teacher. That's for
sure. We're heading towards a break. This is Everyday Faith Radio, and we're talking with Greg Dickerson. With the idea that we walk by faith and not by sight. Greg, I want to ask this one last question before we head to the break. The book of Philippians mentions this supernatural peace, or a peace that surpasses all understanding. And we receive that peace when we go to God with our worries and our anxieties and we offer it up to him, and he gives back to us a peace. Did you feel like you received a peace, or you had a peace during that great challenge of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I distinctly remember thinking, you know, I should be having a heart attack or a breakdown or, you know, diving into a bottle of liquor or something, mm-hmm. you know, with what I was going through. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was worth, you know, a lot, you know, several millions of dollars and had property and all these things were being stripped away, and I was facing, how am I going to feed my family? I have no money in my bank account. None. Mm-hmm. I'm talking zero. Mm-hmm. Savings are gone. Assets are gone. Credit's gone. Everything. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? That's a fear to a level that a lot of people, that's what heart attacks are made of, right?
Yeah.
So I just remember, you know, when that anxiety would try to creep up on me, I would just say, God, I know you've got something in store. I know it's going to be okay. And it's almost like you hear him saying, don't worry. I got you. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So there would be a peace that would come over me going, you know what? It's all relative. In the end of the day, God's got my back. Whatever is going to happen, it's going to work out. And you just let it go. And you say, God, it's on you. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep on keeping on and do what I can do, which mm-hmm. is get up, go to work, and work hard, and just keep at it.
Peter, the disciple Peter, in his letter says to cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. And I often picture that. Peter was a fisherman, and so the casting in those days was to cast a net. And so kind of a two-handed grab the net and really give it a heave. Cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. And as Greg Dickerson has mentioned, you end up, the result of that is it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of our interview with Greg Dickerson. Please stay with us.
News and sports sponsored by Positive Coaching Alliance. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit organization, develops better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today we have Greg Dickerson back with us, bailing us out, filling in for our scheduled guest. Greg, again, I hope that all of our listeners have a friend like you in their life. I also want to give a special shout out to three of our listeners who tune in every Sunday. I appreciate you, Andrea, David, and Chad. Thank you very much for tuning in again this morning. We're talking about how the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we just had Greg kind of walk through a scenario in his life where that verse was meaningful and you experienced it. Greg, I'm going to unpack it a little bit. I'm going to do it kind of quickly here, but I'm a real estate broker by trade. That's what I do for a living. And during the course of my 28-year career, I have trained a lot of people. I've recruited a lot of people. I've helped a lot of people. I like to think that I've been able to pour into a lot of our sales associates and help them make some pretty good money during the good times in the market and even during the struggle time in the market. But here's the part that I want to share with you. I went through a period in my career where several of my salespeople left me. And during that time, it's tough when you recruit and pour into people and build people up and they leave for what is perceived as the grass is greener somewhere else. But during that time, you know, I didn't know if our business was going to last because we have sales associates leaving. I ended up, a couple of things came out of that. One was that I ended up with an extreme appreciation for our sales associates who stayed. So those, I understood the value of loyalty. I understood the value of friendship and a relationship that goes both ways. I really, really appreciated that. But in terms of walking by faith, during that period of time in my life, I had to walk by believing in the promises of God. And one of them, which you and I have talked about before, Genesis chapter 50:20. My summation of it is, what the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good. So what the enemy meant for bad, what my perception during that time, that our company was going to get sucked under, and it, you know, you got to deal with a lot of different thoughts and things that you're afraid of, much sounds like somewhat similar to your 2009 experience. I ended up really holding on to the promises of God during that time in my own life and just trusting God, not being able to necessarily see it. It's that sight part, but trusting and walking and living by faith that the promises of God are true, they are real, and that although this may be a bad time, something good is going to come out of that. And then ultimately, Greg, I will say that it did. And then the other part that I had to really get my arms around was In John's Gospel, chapter 15 talks about the vine. Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." And there's this long dialogue about pruning, mm-hmm. and that how pruning is actually, when you get pruned, it's actually preparing you for growth. Well, I can speak experientially that pruning hurts, mm-hmm. and nobody's really seeking to be pruned, but sometimes you have to kind of cut away some branches that are not producing in order to get the growth. But for me, what came out of that was I held on to this. I had this sense that God brings certain people into your life for a reason. And then I also held on to my belief was that God removes certain people from your life for a reason. And so that's hard to really get your arms around when you're in the middle of all that, mm-hmm. and you're scared and worried about the future. But I think faith is a little bit like a muscle. You know, the more you exercise it, the more you walk and live by faith, the stronger your faith gets and it builds up. And boy, I really stayed anchored into the Word during those times. I spent a lot of time studying the Scriptures, and I practiced what I preach. I did a lot of casting my cares. I read again and again how Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." And I experience that, yes, he will give you rest if you hand him all of your burdens. And so that's my story of walking by faith. And I can truly say that without God, without wisdom, I just don't know how I would have made it during that time.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And, you know, you've got a bigger, deeper other story as well.
Yes.
That's a smaller piece of that
yes,
whole pie.
Right.
So, you know, you've been through it on multiple levels. And, you know, like I go back to that time when people say, "Oh, yeah, it's easy for you. You're so successful. It just happened. You're so lucky." And I say, "Look, if I lost it all today, I still have my faith. Everything's great." Well, I got put to the test on that one. Mm. You know, God said, "Okay, I'll take that bet." Yeah. And it all got stripped away. And so, you know, I had to practice it, work it. And I think the key for people to understand is we did not give up. So things are going to happen. I don't care what you're doing, good, bad, whatever. Things are going to happen, and you can either give up or you can get on. Mm. And you and me, we got up, we kept moving, we kept going. As the hits kept on coming, we just kept going and working harder and digging deeper. And like you said, it's like a workout. The harder you work out, the stronger you're going to be at the end of the day, and the more calories you're going to burn, and the stronger you become in the long run. And, you know, the wisdom of those opportunities, I guess the easiest way to break it down is for every difficulty, you know, wisdom can be defined a lot of different ways. But one of the ways you can look at it is in every situation, in every personal interaction and relationship, wisdom is born out of the opportunities we are given. So if somebody comes along and offends you, well, that's an opportunity to be patient, to be kind, to be understanding. We never know where people are coming from and what they're dealing with, right?
That's
right. So we let our pride and our ego get all welled up because that's just how we're built and we're wired. And, you know, when somebody comes to us with an offense, we can act a number of different ways. People get up and walk out on you. You can act in a number of different ways about that and take it very personally. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, "God, I know this is an opportunity for me to be whatever, encouraging, mm-hmm. patient, rational, you know, whatever it is." You know, somebody, you know, cut you off in traffic. Well, that's an opportunity to be patient. Somebody cheats you in a business deal. Well, that's an opportunity to, you know, practice forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just any number of difficulties that come against you. You can always look at those difficulties and obstacles as opportunities to exercise faith. And faith shows itself in all of those different ways. And like you talk about, what's the difference between walking by sight, walking by faith? You know, we're not looking for tangible result-oriented actions in front of us. We're not looking for Jesus to appear and say, "Go this way." Mm-hmm. We're believing that he exists. We're believing that our life is guided by him. Now, there's not necessarily a roadmap with every left and right-hand turn. We have free will, and we have to work. You know, we have been, you know, because of the original sin, we have to scratch a living from the soil. Mm-hmm. So we have to go to work. God wants us to work. We have to work. We have to earn a living. But when we are facing difficult times, we can make choices. We can run, and we can hide, and we can lie and cheat to get out of it, or we can face it, mm-hmm. accept the consequences, take responsibility and accountability for our actions, and look at those opportunities to exercise faith and learn and accept the consequences of those actions. And take accountability and then keep moving and keep learning and keep moving forward. And hopefully you don't keep making the same mistakes mm-hmm. over again. Sometimes stuff just happens to you. Sometimes it's our own doing. It's a good friend of mine, you know, one time he says, hey, sometimes, you know, stuff happens and sometimes you just do dumb stuff. So, that's my two cents.
The theologian G.K. Chesterton is quoted as saying the gigantic secret of the Christian faith is joy. And I can remember through the toughest struggles of my life here in the last 7-8 years, I've had people approach me and say, why is it that you're so happy when you should, you really shouldn't be so happy. Oh, by the way. And, we talk about this, this joy that is available to believers. But I wonder, Greg, what is that? Did you experience a joy, even though you're going through the big challenge of your life? We talked about peace, but was there a joy because you were so closely held by God during your struggles?
You know, at periods. So I'm not going to say my journey was perfect. You know, I do remember some times where I had to question myself and say, man, what am I so angry about? What am I on edge about? Because, you know, I would get angry and irritated at times because, you know, that's all fear-based, right? So it's a work in progress. It's an evolutionary journey where, you know, you have to be aware and recognize those things. And, you know, I do have the ability and take time to try to reflect and be self-aware of what's going on and why I'm doing certain things. And I remember one time I was coaching softball, just a bunch of little kids, and I was just getting unusually irritated. I was going through a lot of the fire at that time. Mm-hmm. And I remember stepping back and going, wait a minute, this is not good. I'm getting irritated. This is not me. I'm not like that. I'm a happy guy. I'm always in a good mood. I'm always smiling. Mm-hmm. There was a period of time where things were so intense that a lot of that had left me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that can happen, mm-hmm. you know, and you can get in times where you're focusing and things like that. But, for the most part, most people wouldn't have known, and most people didn't know what I was really going through, because I am a generally happy guy and things like that. And I tried to keep that in mind. But, you know, that's where the Bible says there's an enemy prowling the earth, you know, like a lion looking to seek and destroy, you know, and that's what he's after. He's after our joy, you know. Yeah. So the enemy, the devil, however you want to put it, Satan, you know, that's what he's really after. You know, at the end of the day, he's out there trying to take our happiness away and make this life and this, you know, this journey that we're on miserable. And it's a difficult thing to do, even when you have a very deep faith, when you face the loss of a child, which I haven't, or, you know, other different things that you can lose, a health, you know, issue, those types of things. Money and possessions are one thing, but they're all relative, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and those things are easy to say till you go through them. But I think at times, you know, that joy and that peace was there, but there were times where it still is just a little too much, and then it takes you a minute, and, you know, you talk to God for a few minutes, and you back yourself back down, and, you know, those things even still happen now.
Well, Greg Dickerson, your friendship has really been a joy to me, and I know that our listeners have enjoyed your life story, so thank you so much for sharing it. We never got to Luke chapter 4, so we'll have to have you back again real soon. Thank you so much for joining us on Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. We'll see you next week.
Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.